Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. In today's episode, we're talking about the Great Readjustment, another time of change as many employees and employers adjust to long-term hybrid, remote or in-office working models, now that the temporary workplace-related COVID restrictions have finally been lifted. And to talk about this topic today, we're delighted to be joined by an advocate and leader on effective remote working practices, a published academic author and researcher, a designer and deliverer of postgrad education with TU Dublin, and generally one of Ireland's leading remote work influencers. It's someone who will be very familiar to many of you. It's the fantastic Rowena Hennigan. Thanks for joining us, Rowena. How are you?
Good morning from Zaragoza. Oh, yeah, I'm doing great here. Lovely blue skies. Cold, but crystal clear skies. And yes, pleasure to be here with yourself and Mary today.
Brilliant stuff. So an international episode today in the true style of the topic. And as always, we're also joined by our very own Mary Cullen, founder and managing director here at Insight HR. Hello, Mary. How are you?
Great. Good morning, Rowena. I'm positively jealous at that description of your day. It's dry, but grey here. And obviously, we have the beautiful Ireland. So I'll always promote it.
Exactly. Lots of green grass that I miss. Lots of beautiful countryside. So I know, grass is sometimes greener on the other side, certainly in Ireland.
So let's jump right in. So I suppose, Rowena, it's kind of another big time of change for certain people who are now heading back into the office. I know when I heard about the restrictions lifting, I thought, right, it's no longer temporary, because I think a lot of the COVID work models felt a little bit temporary for some people. But now it seems to be, right, things are lifted. So a lot of people are kind of getting into another period of change. They might be heading back to the office for the first time and things like that. So I suppose my question, Rowena, to kind of kick us off is, how can HR teams and leaders kind of support those employees through yet another transition?
Yeah, like it does feel a bit more permanent this time, doesn't it? And I guess we've had so many false starts in many, many countries, and Ireland in particular. So I see that as a positive, and I am a glass half full person, and I see it as a positive because companies can learn from what others have done. They can learn from some of the preparation, the foundations that have been put in. And there has been lots of good work. But you said really important thing there, on that it's not contingency, it's not holding anymore. It's starting to move to action. So the first thing I'd like to recommend is that we keep that compassionate leadership and that connection with people and that heart-centered leadership front of mind, because it will feel a bit surreal, won't it, to people? They'll be a bit like, what is it actually? Are we actually going back? So there might be a little bit of a time needed to digest, to transition, and to just work through that. And that, of course, all good HR leaders will know, if we can keep that compassion from ourselves to start with, and then we can move to take care of others. So that would be my first point. And then secondly, look around. And I've been writing on this, I've been blogging about this, there's lots of good examples out there. People started to prepare, they started pilots, they started thinking about it. And now is the time to move to a little bit more action. Look at those foundations of planning you've started. Maybe do an inventory or an audit of what's already happened, and then start to look at how we move that to action.
Fantastic. I think, Mary, kind of building out what Rowena said there, so I think some companies will also now face potentially kind of a two-way split in their culture. You might have some people staying at home, some people going in, some people with that kind of hybrid model. So I suppose, Mary, my question for yourself is, how can companies kind of maintain that engagement and culture in that regard?
I agree absolutely with Rowena. It does feel more permanent this time. I mean, I think there's still uncertainty out there that, you know, HR people everywhere have been dealing with for 2 years. And I guess you know, given the right to request remote work, now again changes the landscape somewhat for HR people when it comes to the model or the future model of work. And, you know, culture is just so important, but it's a time for organizations to rethink culture. Culture isn't linked to a place. Culture is linked to the organization. And, you know, we're very much moving towards models of, you know, what is the office of the future? Will there be offices of the future? And I think a lot of us are starting to think about culture differently. It's so important to listen to the voice of your employees. When it comes to models, an awful lot of our clients worked on future working models last summer, but we didn't have the right to request remote work at that point in time. And that is going to kick in probably by September of this year. And then again, we're going to see maybe a change. People may have thought, well, last summer, I was happy to come in for 2 or 3 days a week. Now I'm going to wait till September and request remote working, and the organization's model might need to be tweaked again. So I think really in terms of our planning, we have to factor that in and think about it. So when it comes to culture, you know, we've got to look at great leadership. You know, we've got to look at how we intentionally foster culture. It's, you know, I suppose we probably put a lot of store in the office, as I suppose the Western world, in terms of that's a place where we go to collaborate, to meet, to create ideas. But who's to say that we can't do that in a different way in the future? And maybe it's part of what we need to do is not be so wedded to the idea that the only way in which we can have meaningful relationships is through accidentally bumping into each other somewhere. You know, can we not create that accidental meetings more intentionally by saying, well, you know, our salespeople hardly know our finance team, let's create virtual coffees, let's create virtual events, let's do things differently. So I think, you know, for all HR people, we're still going to have to look at, you know, leadership, developing leaders for the future world of work, whatever that might be, and that's specific to each organization, and being creative and imaginative about how we do things. And I still see it as a, while we're moving into post-pandemic, I really hope, I still think there's lots changing and happening, and we've got to be creative.
And I think that's exactly kind of the key to it, Mary, because that was kind of a loaded question, to be honest, when I did ask that, because I think from a organizational side, from an employer side, your culture is now whatever the working model is. So that's the reality of it. That's how I suppose organizations have to work around that. I suppose, Rowena, from your perspective, and I know you've spoken about this a lot, are there things that employees can do to kind of maintain that connection and engagement from their kind of side of things?
Definitely. It's that understanding how important connection is to them. And I think what we've realized in these last 2 years is connection and social connections can mean different things to different people. And as HR leaders as well, we maybe have started to understand the gambit that runs, that for one person, that casual water cooler chat can make their day when we think of the office, but for others, it's a walk in nature, it's a sporting activity, it's time with their pets, it's a pastime learning in a group, which again, we saw coming through a lot through book clubs and different activities and challenges. So I think that it's really important to appreciate that connection is important, but also to understand through our team, through our employees, what individual connection means to different individuals, and encourage the different team leaders to tap into that in different ways. And I loved what Mary said there on that sort of, you know, intentional meetings or social connections. I've heard it called planned serendipity, right? Intentional serendipity, where you almost set up, as you said, the finance guys meeting with the other team of whoever, the new team or some other division. And fostering those connections, looking for the commonality. sending out a little survey to find that, you know, music, books, sport, whatever it is, finding the commonality, and then looking to remote best practice. Well, where we have to bridge the gaps is if we bump into someone in the hall in an office and they're showing us, you know, a picture on their phone of what they cooked last night, right? The recipe they used and maybe the end product. Think of how we might do that on our channels, on Slack, on shared. So we have to kind of put in place as well those visual tools, use Slack and the different instant messaging tools proactively. And what I would really encourage HR leaders is just to use their creativity, as Mary has said, to think about when I was connecting with someone about their holidays, I shared pictures of specific pastimes, scenery, whatever it may be. And that's what you have to lead with as well. When you're fostering those social connections, other than setting them up, think about how powerful visuals are. Think about playing back a concert tune, for example, or a live concert to someone on Slack, the way videos and GIFs are shared with sound. So that helps to bridge those gaps as well between the virtual to the physical. And that's one of the things, those nuances. We maybe know them from the last 2 years, but we need to really know them now. We need to start to think about them in terms of that inventory or audit of what we learned and say, okay, how can I bring that better into my planning now? Because regardless of the model, it's going to be mixed. And therefore, we have to think of the people who will be sometime remote. And the way we do that is by including them on the digital infrastructure, on the digital channels.
Because I think it's obviously, I think when you think of kind of bigger companies that might have Slack and Workplace by Facebook and all those various other internal channels do exist. And they have those kind of community groups, those employee resource groups, there is that connection there. But I think even with, I know a lot of our listeners will be from smaller companies, and it's just about that creativity of jumping on a work call and just having a chat first for 5 minutes, just dedicating, saying, hello, how are you? And then get into it. Obviously, don't be getting chatting for 45 minutes and lose your entire meeting, but just a little bit of creativity like that. Because I think, as you said, Rowena, the visual is massively important.
Massively. Yeah, and you can do it over email. It doesn't have to be complicated. Mm. A few photos from what I did at the weekend, or a few photos from my holiday. You know, it doesn't have to be. And the check-in as well, the check-in with the social chat, so important, that 5 minutes. Another thing I like to recommend, it's a simple thing, but I've seen it make major changes with clients, is for team leaders to always have a 5 minute at the end of every call, virtual open door. So when their team drops off, if one or two people want to stay on and chat, it's in the calendar, it's there. And it can be anything. It can be, you know, it's virtual open door at the last minute. So it's little things like that, little practical tips that really help to foster those communications and conversations.
Brilliant. A little bit of creativity goes a long way, certainly. I suppose kind of on a slightly related topic, Rowena. So I know for many, they may be now beginning, I suppose, a kind of a hybrid mix of work. Sometimes at home, sometimes in office, it might be mandated, it might not be. And I think for a lot of people, when the hybrid model first came out, they thought this sounds like an ideal mix. But I know, I think you've discovered, and you've written about it a small bit, about the kind of challenges of the hybrid model. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I don't think this is there's challenges to the hybrid model, because the hybrid model is a mix of two very distinct models. And anyone who's done any bit of reading or thinking will realize that. But also it's a transitionary phase for people to suddenly be commuting again, maybe leaving care responsibilities at home, etc. So I think what's happened is we have to realize that moving into the hybrid models, that there will be workers that are exhausted or find it challenging. Okay. I also think, and especially to what Mary said, come September, we have to be realistic. There are people who love working from home and working remotely. And when they get the chance to request, when we keep that flexible work model in mind, they're going to request it. Also, today, the whole idea of flexibility, today where I am today in my life might be totally different from September. I suddenly might have a care responsibility. I might have something happening in my local community that changes my perspective on work. So again, I may change. I may say, well, actually, going to the office is more attractive to me now. I want that rhythm. So whatever it may be, we need to realize that people will be tired. We need to realize as well that that the hybrid model could be done bad. And if we're talking about authentic leadership and we're talking about being human, we're not going to get it right. Lots of companies haven't. And fessing up to that and being honest about it And some of the recommendations I've written about, like creating a pilot, getting open feedback on that, transitioning slowly, it gives the opportunity home for people who maybe don't like it to say, look, it hasn't worked for me in this few weeks, but I'm keeping an open mind for when we're fully ready. Because the whole point of a pilot or a trial or a test period is you learn from what maybe, you know, hasn't worked. Car parking facilities, workspace setup, access to buildings, all those things logistically. And anyone listening who has, you know, works in any kind of any of the workplace planning or facilities will know the headache they're going through at the moment. So again, if we prepare for that and realize it might go wrong, I don't think we'll lose people completely. I think it's to what Mary said, we need to keep that flexible model front and center and realize that individuals' needs are going to change. And as a company, as a team, as an organization, we can manage the shift to that, just like we all managed to work from home in an emergency, in a crisis for 2 years.
I think kind of related to that, Mary, I suppose a lot of companies who might have, I suppose, been brand new to remote working or hybrid models, obviously they've been around for a long time, thankfully. But I think a lot of companies who have experienced it for the first time, I think certain leaders, HR teams, found that performance management in particular was a bit of a challenge. I know we've kind of spoken about this in the past, Mary, but can you talk to us about how, I suppose, the advice we can give there and the issues that might go with that?
Yeah, well, I guess just as the location of work and the manner in which work is done has changed, so has performance management. And there are, I suppose, a lot of trends out there now and changes to performance management systems. So traditionally, most organizations would have been looking back at the previous 12 months, measuring performance based on, you know, KPIs or objectives that were set, and, you know, setting plans for the next quarter, the next 6 months, the next 12 months. And there has been a change to that in that now the focus is more about conversations, two-way conversations which are focused not just on what happened last year, because I mean, what are you going to get from that? Someone could have had a terrible year for one reason or another, and this switch has changed to your achievements, what you've achieved over the last year, what you might need to change in your performance going forward, and, you know, how's the organization doing? And there really needs to be a lot more focus on how's the organization doing, and that question does need to be asked, because remember, we are seeing resignations across all sectors in Ireland at the moment. We are seeing movement. We're seeing a lot of movement in HR itself. HR people are saying, you know what, I don't want to go back to this hybrid model. I've interviewed loads of people. We have some open roles at the moment, and loads of the people that I've interviewed don't want to go to work 3 days a week. They actually want to work fully remotely, and they're out there looking for companies that are going to support that. And with a change in working model has to come a change in performance management and your approach to it. If I suppose the last 2 years have taught us to look at output more than presenteeism, someone in the office. So, you know, if you look at how we've traditionally measured good performance, we said they're in early, they're head down, they're working hard, they're interacting with their colleagues. And you know what? They're here late too. They're always on, they're always available. And let's promote them because they're the kind of person that's going to succeed in our organizations. And you would be surprised at how many organizations looked at what people were doing and monitored them by looking at them and promoted them on that basis. That's changed. We're not able to look at people in the same way anymore, and we now need to look at output, you know, how people are performing their roles and how successfully they're doing that. And there's a whole range of new skills in play now from a management perspective. How well do I manage a remote team? You know, the CEO doesn't see me every day, so it's all going to be based on how successful that team is and what am I doing with that team. So I believe conversations are changing, structures and systems are changing. And again, there's great opportunity for HR to go in there and redesign it and think, you know, what can we do to create that high performance culture when we're not all together? When our managers need new skills, we need to look at new leadership programs. We need to look at how we're going to spot talent in the organization. We need to look at succession planning, because again, you know, we were basing a lot of that on the key people who we saw always around the office. Well, not going to see that in the same way anymore. So from a performance management perspective, I think that's going to change as well. And you can already see that's happening. And, you know, we trialed this year a change in our own performance management system, where always before we looked at, you know, the previous few months or year or 6 months or whatever we were looking at. And this year we had much more powerful discussions with individuals about, you know, what they'd achieved in the last year, what they need to work on from their own perspective, what we recommend they work on, looking at their career plan, their future with the company, how they need to look at things from their own perspective. And the conversations, honestly, were far more powerful than looking back and saying, you know, you did this, that and the other wrong last year, or you did this, that and the other right last year.
Absolutely. I think one of the words you said there, Mary, that kind of jumped out to me was opportunity. I think you'll agree with this, Serena, because I suppose that kind of glass half full, like myself and Mary as well. It is an opportunity to kind of move things around, to redesign things, isn't it? To kind of make the most of it. It's not all about the past.
Definitely. And actually what really resonated with me, what Mary said, and she's got her pulse, obviously her finger on the pulse in Ireland, that many HR professionals don't want to go back to the office themselves. And we should tap into that in our network, you know, even if we're quite happy and, you know, it's a really personal thing, but understanding those reasons and digging into that a little bit more through colleagues, or even if you tap doing some reflective writing yourself, if you feel like that, really helps you understand that perspective. And that's how we foster that being able to see what the benefits are. But also we can see then how we have to try and be inclusive to consider all those perspectives. That if someone is going to be, you know, based remotely, how we keep them involved, how we keep, you know, them equal. This is why D&I is such a huge area in the fully remote companies, and they're leaders in it, because they designed from the get-go, when they went without a headquarters, without a physical location, it didn't matter if you were seen around the halls. It didn't matter if you were sitting in a wheelchair getting your work done wherever in the world. And that's the thing. All they cared about was the outputs rather than being seen, the presenteeism. So I think there's an opportunity to tap into that. And I think the other thing to piggyback off what Mary said as well, is about those powerful conversations, about asking more when you get the chance. But I wonder if you could also frame a question that's something like, what would our future flexible organization look like to you? And invite that open question. Don't lead it, invite it back from your workers, because that's one of the things I see again positive. It was an emergency experiment worldwide. We thought it would be 6 months. We thought it would be a year. We actually have a lot of organizations have the advocates who can drive this within their teams and who have learned so much during the 2 years. So it's really just asking the right questions, listening and feeding back.
And we can't go backwards, you know, and I know lots of CEOs out there that are just, you know, when are we getting them back in? When are people coming back into the office? When are we going to do that? But it's so important that, you know, HR do stand up and say, look, it's not going to be the same. And when we bring people back into the offices, we really must bring them back in for a purpose. So what is the purpose of the office? What are we going to do there? Are we going to use it as a place where we bring teams in and feed them marvelous treats and have great meetings with them? Are we going to bring them in and have them sit side by side in their cubicles on video calls back to back all day long? Well, you know what? If you want to frustrate someone, that's what you do. You get them to drive an hour into work in traffic bring them into a cubicle where they're not really interacting with anyone who they wouldn't have interacted with in their space, in the office, and really they're not doing anything different than they could do at home. So again, it's about being intentional. It's about looking at the needs of individuals. I saw yesterday an Irish Times article, I don't know if either of you saw it, about cot desking, where in the US they had built a desk with a cot right beside it. And really, things are changing, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it. I mean, I could think of nothing worse than having had any of my babies right beside me while working, because I think it would just be so difficult to balance the two. But there may be people out there that can do that and balance both and, you know, again, successfully perform their job. What we don't want to see is somebody, you know, working in a really unhealthy working pattern and their output being good, but actually, you know, work minding the children all day, working from 6 till midnight, you know, having no downtime for themselves, having no social life. So I think you just have to be very careful in terms of the arrangements that are approved. You have to be careful about the home work setup. If people are going to be in their homes, there are all sorts of issues around GDPR, privacy, and ergonomics. And what passed muster during the pandemic when there were stay-at-home orders or recommendations to stay at home for our office-based workers, now we're in a stage where really you've got to ensure that the environment people are working in is suitable, that the desk that they're working with is suitable, that they're not so, you know, people still have to have childcare arrangements in place. It's, you know, you can't really manage your childcare duties and your working duties together. And some of that is going to be contentious when you're looking for people to come back to the office. I've already heard people say, I can't come back to the office. I've no childcare arrangements. And it begs the question of how have you been managing up until this point? And what does it mean for the individual in terms of the way in which they're balancing their care responsibilities and their work responsibilities? So I think there's a whole load of variables. There's a whole load of things that HR need to be thinking about when it comes to the future of work. But like Rowena, I'm very much a believer in, you know, work doesn't have to be at a set location where you're all brought together to do something. And creativity is important. Real estate is going to have an impact, I guess, on some of the decisions the companies make. You know, if we've got a vested interest in real estate, you know, we may be pushing harder for a return, full return or a hybrid approach than we might do otherwise. But I think there's lots still going to happen. 2022 is not going to be settled. It's going to be exciting and interesting, and loads and loads and loads of opportunities for HR people to recreate, reimagine, redesign everything.
Yeah, I think, I suppose, lots of things to think about and things coming up. So I suppose with a bit of a quick fire ending to the podcast, I suppose, with for yourself, Rowena, and I'll ask yourself as well, Mary, after, but I suppose what are some of the key things that employers and employees can kind of look out for during this kind of period of change, Rowena?
I just think we need people to look for fun again. I think we've maybe forgotten a bit how to have fun, and it's building off that social connection. And obviously here in sitting in Spain, hearing the lovely Irish accents, you know, we do love the crack. We know how to have the crack, whether it be on a Zoom or a Teams call or whatever. And again, sometimes people feel it's a little bit fake, but it's not. Just organize the things that might lead to fun. And of course, online, if you can, and then if you can do it in person. And I know some of my clients have started organizing small coffee get-togethers in safe spaces where they're giving out coffee vouchers, or little other small teams getting together to do team building activities in different locations in Ireland. Look for that sort of fun activities, quality time, no work chat. so that we can remember why we like each other again as well, because we do, and we you know, we build those work relationships. And just to bust the myth finally on that, the fully remote companies meet up regularly, guys. It wasn't like they were over in a silo, never having met each other. Shopify in Ireland with 480 call center workers met up every month in their different regions, the different teams. So, you know, they got together and they had fun, or they did a day of work, or they did a day of team building or whatever. So fun and actually making those physical get-togethers work within reason where you can, they would be my two main recommendations.
Brilliant. And same to yourself, Mary, kind of key advice to sum up.
Yeah, remember people are in the habit of being at home, and they're out of the habit of having fun in a work context, you know, unless an organization has really worked hard to do that. And a lot did in the early days, you know, with online quizzes and online this, that, and the other coffees and all the rest of it. And some of that has dropped off, and some employees just don't want it. And you know, that has been the voice of the employee, that we don't want to spend our extra time still online, so we're not going to do anything in the evening or before hours or whatever. So remember, there's still residual fear. There are still concerns that people have about commuting. You know, even in these times, even though the government are saying things are safe and social distancing is gone to a very large extent, certainly in the workplace. And so to do things carefully and thoughtfully with that in mind, so that when you are bringing people back into the office, managers are taking the time to talk to each person individually. You know, we can easily send out an email and tell everybody to be back in the office on the 1st of April. And we can have a negative reaction to that. It's important that your management are communicating with each individual and saying, look, you know, we're coming back to the office on the 1st. How are you feeling? You know, is this impacting you? Or talk to people, even if they have no choice about this 2 or 3 day week. It's important to have that open lines of communication and empathy and understanding. You know, people have lost people during this period. People, you know, may be traumatized. People are just in the habit of not leaving their home in the daytime at all, other than maybe for a walk, and they're used to a much, much smaller circle of people than they would have had heretofore. So let's not forget that, and let's be mindful that, you know, for some people, being asked to come back to the office is actually going to be a crisis for them. And we need to consider people's mental health and think very carefully about our messaging, our communication zone. I know that will resonate with you as someone who's been involved in internal comms for many years. You know, the messaging that we do around this is just so important, so that we're supporting people in whatever the future work looks like in our organization, and avoiding attrition, avoiding those resignations. We don't want them.
It's really, I suppose, to summarize what you both said there, it's really just remembering that we're people, keeping it people to people. People want to have fun. They want to enjoy what they're doing inside work, outside of work. But people also have many things going on, as you said, Mary. So we do need to be empathetic and work with people and communicate well. So, well, thank you, Mary and Rowena, for a very insightful and, to be honest, very enjoyable discussion. It's a great topic to talk about. And even though it's been spoken about before, I think we got a lot of new, good, great information out of that. So thank you very much to both of you. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe and join the discussion on our social media channels. Do make sure to check the show notes for useful resources related to today's topic. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us anytime at insighthr.ie. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Rowena.
Thank you.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.